great to see you guys. This is a great day. I had two really cool things happen to me today. It's a fun day for one thing. I'm really looking forward to what I'm going to tell you today. I've been waiting for this for a long time. Another thing, I walked into church and I was sitting in the early service, before the early service, I was sitting out back talking to someone, and this really cute little 5 or 6 year old girl, seven, I don't know, she was walking down the hall and she looks at me and she comes a little closer. I went over and she said, "I asked Jesus into my heart today." I mean, like 2 days ago. And I'm like, that is so awesome. I hugged her. It's so cool. She said, "Yeah, I was at my grandmother's house and she said the words, you know, the words about loving Jesus. And I prayed the words. I followed her. She said them." And I thought it's really cool. And she said, "I'll tell you something else too. I think my grandmother's a Christian too because she said the words too." it was awesome. It was like, that was a great start of the day. It was so cool. That's really cool. So that was, I'm excited about that. And the other thing, is this thing on? Oh yeah, this is on. Can I have this on a minute? And another really cool thing happened today. A lot of you guys know McCallan. Stand up, McCallan. Can you stand up? Yeah. McCallan, and she showed me something yesterday that was really cool. What did you show me yesterday?
That I am engaged.
That she's engaged. Coolness. Now, I'm assuming that this is who you're... Go ahead, introduce him and stand up. Yeah. And tell us all kinds of cool stuff about him. In like 30
perfect.
Seconds or less.
This is Ethan, and I am planning on marrying Ethan. And... we're engaged.
That's great. That's awesome. Cool. Congratulations. That's exciting, man. I love when that happens. I love being married. I'll tell you what, to be married, to be godly when you're married, and to honor God. Here, you can have it. And to honor God through your marriage. It just keeps, like Cindy said, you get closer and closer and closer, and what a great thing. And I'm excited about that kind of stuff. So that was a good day. It's been a really good day. Anyway. Let's get started. Can I pray before we get started? Because I feel like I'm going to talk really fast if I don't. Okay? So you got to listen really fast. If you're a visitor here today or just here, I usually talk very, very slowly, very intellectually and things like that. So let me pray. Lord Jesus, the message we have to share today, Satan hates. And one way he'll hate it is to really help us to see it in the wrong direction. But I pray that we might honestly understand what we're going to be talking about today, about our chains being gone. We've been set free. And it's just, I'm really looking forward to it. God, please use me, speak through me. In Jesus' name, amen. We're talking about, 2 weeks ago, I wasn't up last week. Nick did a great job. 2 weeks before, we're still talking about the life of Peter. And we're following Peter through, we followed him through the Pentecost, through his, you know, denial of Christ and stuff. And Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, and that changed everything. Because when the Holy Spirit finally came, and it just changed everything in Peter's life. We see a completely different thing in Peter's life. And they waited for the Holy Spirit, and then all of a sudden they're in Jerusalem. It's not been that long since Jesus was killed, where everybody, the whole entire town, turned up to kill him. And the religious leaders do that. And Jesus charged the disciples before he went back to heaven, as you're going, make disciples. Just as you're going, share the good news. You've got some great news. And so as you're going, whether a child, adult, whatever, as you're going, be ready to tell people and be ready to share the great news that Jesus died for us. And so Peter's doing that. And one day he's on his way to the temple. And the temple is where the priests lived and stuff that killed Jesus and they hated Jesus. And he's on his way to the temple and he comes across this guy that wants something. He said, "I don't have money, I don't have anything." And he was a lame, crippled guy. But he said, "What I have, I'll give you." And the guy stood up and walked around. Everybody came running. And he started teaching them real quickly. And we're going to be in Acts 3. He started real quickly. Acts 3:16. We talked about this. "By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know has been made strong. It is in Jesus' name that faith comes through him and has completely healed him." And we talked about that. You know, we're in a society that says don't talk in Jesus' name. It's all right to believe in God. Talking to someone today that went to a wedding service the other day that was just made by one of these people that just, you know, whatever you believe is fine, and they never talked about Jesus. It was just God this and God that. We're not to pray in God's name, but in Jesus' name. And a lot of Christians are being convinced that you don't talk about Jesus, it's okay to pray to God, and our world is going that direction. So I want to tell you something. Be really careful with that. When you're asked to pray, pray in Jesus' name. Do not be ashamed about the name of Jesus. And you think, "Oh, but I might, if I talk about Jesus, I might lose my job." you know? Or I might get fired. Well, that, I guess that would be pretty much the same thing, wouldn't it? Or I might, you know, get, we don't talk about Jesus. Well, I want to tell you something. We think it's so hard today. Just think what Peter's facing. He is in the same building as the people that mutilated Jesus and hung him on a cross. They hated Jesus. And all those people that were there were the ones who just went to the crucifixion and mocked him and laughed at him and stuff. And he even says a couple times, by faith in the name of Jesus, in the case they didn't get it, the next sentence, it's Jesus' name. We are called to share in Jesus' name. There's power in that name. In the name of Jesus Christ. Not just God, because that could be any thing that people want to worship out there, but in the name of Jesus Christ. And then, so don't be ashamed of Jesus' name. We talked about, and this is just kind of wrap up, I should, or from last week review, Acts 3:17 to 18. Now, fellow Israelites, and this is a speech to these people. I know that you acted in ignorance as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he foretold through the prophets, saying this Messiah would suffer. We talked about 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. And be ready to give an answer to anyone asks you for the reason of the hope that's in you, for why the hope's in you. Listen, I want to tell you something. But he, what's he say? But do this with, remember, gentleness and respect. I really tired of so-called Christians that just beat it down everybody's throat. You're a sinner. You're going to hell. We are called to share the good news. You don't share the good news by pointing your finger in somebody's faith. Somebody's face and just putting them down and beating them up with the gospel. We are called to do this with gentleness and respect. And you'll see this with the disciples and stuff. I'm telling you, we're called to win people for Christ. See, win, build, equip, send. Not drag and capture, round them up, herd them up, and tie them up and drag them to church. We're called to win people for Christ. Christians should be the most gentle and the most respectful people, but the most solid and firm foundation people. No, I will always talk about the name of Jesus and what he did for me, but I will do it with gentleness and respect. And this is what we've been talking about. And then we get to, oh, this is a cool verse, Acts 3:19. This is what we're going to be talking about today. Acts 3:19, I've read this before, but it never really jumped out and grabbed me, and I've just been waiting for a couple weeks to do this. Acts 3:19. So Peter's talking to these people, okay? And these are these people in the temple, and they're surrounding him. They just did this miracle. And so Peter talks about, you know, with gentleness and respect about Jesus and about Jesus died for them and all this kind of stuff, and it's faith in the name of Jesus. And then he says in Acts 3:19, and he offers them, he's telling them the good news that Jesus died for them, and then he offers them the chance to change their eternal destiny from a life headed towards separation from God to a life headed towards eternity with God, Acts 3:19, and he wraps it up like this, repent then, turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Now the first part of it, I'm going to go over real quick, Peter offers a solution to their lostness. You killed Jesus, you rejected Jesus, you know, whatever, we didn't kill Jesus, our sins took him to the cross, but you rejected Jesus, you lived life the way you wanted to, you used to go to church and read, you rejected the message, wherever you're at, and you're sharing with someone the good news of Christ, and when you get done sharing the good news of Christ, it's always good to say, but here's what you can do about it. And Peter ends up by saying, repent then. Now, repent then and turn to Christ is a great thing, and it leads me to just a couple little points here. Peter's solution is repent then and turn to God. Repentance is something that we have to understand before we come to know Christ. Repentance is, I've sinned. I'm a sinner. Almost everybody in the world knows they have done things wrong, but you come to the point where you say, I've sinned. Now, some people, I'm not as good as them, but I'm not near as bad as all these other people. I think we need to come to the point where we say, I'm a sinner. I've sinned. And some people you're talking to know that for a fact because they're at the bottom. Their life just destroyed. They're all alone. They are at the bottom. And we go with the good news that you don't need to stay there. That there is somebody that died for you that has something even better for you. You've tried all what you wanted. You've tried your own life. You've tried all your own ideas, and your life is now falling apart. There's some people that think they're really good that just feel like they're missing something. There's got to be more. You know, I feel like everything I try, I'm still empty inside, you know. But you get to the point where you say there's a solution to it, and it's Jesus Christ. And what you need to do, you need to come to the point where you say, I'm a sinner. Sinner means I've just fallen short of what God wants for me. God would love me. See, sin can't get to heaven. Here's a problem. Sin can't go to heaven. Sinners can't go to heaven because sin can't be in God's presence. God doesn't, he loves sinners. He came to seek and to save those that were lost. He loves people. But people are sinful and sin can't enter God's presence. And so you get to the point where you say, God, I'm a sinner. Yeah, I admit, I'm a sinner. I've done things wrong. Okay? And the Bible says in Ezekiel 18:4, the beginning of it, the one who sins is the soul who'll die. The one who sins is the one who'll die. Because of my sins, I'm going to die. And what that means, not physically, that's a spiritual death. I'm going to be separated from God. When my body shuts down, when my physical body ends, I'm going to spend eternity separated from God. In the lake of fire, or in this case in the Old Testament, in Sheol or Hades or something like that, I'm going to spend eternity separated from God in the lake of fire because I sinned. All right. So we come to the realization that I sinned. The soul that sins die. I can't be good enough. I can't be making all kinds of good things. I can't do all kinds of great stuff to get to God. I sinned. Because of that, I'm going to die. But then you believe these three points that Jesus is God in flesh. Jesus died for me. The easiest way to go there, John 3:16-17-18. Very simply, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. God loved me, a sinner. And he came down to earth, lived a perfect life for me, and gave his life instead of me having to die. He gave his life for me, and I'll tell you what he did a little bit later, but he gave his life for me that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. I'm a sinner. I'm separated from God. I deserve death, but I believe that God made a way for me to get to heaven even though I'm a sinner. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only son. God sent Jesus to die in my place. And if I reject that, then I choose to die in my place, okay? I choose to reject it. But God made salvation so simple. I'm a sinner. I deserve death, but Jesus died in my place. God, I believe that you died for me. And when that happens, whatever, that's the words that your grandmother tells you or whatever, when you come to that place, whoever believes in him is not condemned. So I believe in the work that Jesus Christ did for me. And I'm born into God's family. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to go to church for it. You don't have to be catechized or say things or do things. You don't even have to be baptized to be saved. It's by believing that Jesus Christ died in my place. And God, I believe that you died for me. That's how I'm saved. And then those other things are great things to do. But this is how you're saved. And so Peter's talking to them. He offers them a chance to repent and turn to God. And then the next phrase in Acts 3:19 is brand new for them. They have never heard this ever before in their synagogue or whatever the Jewish people did back there. It repent then, turn to God, so your sins may be wiped out. So your sins may be wiped out. They have never heard of sins being wiped out before. Now, they believed in God. They had faith in God. And God says all throughout the Old Testament, you know, the soul that sins is going to die, but here I'll make a way. If you believe my way, if you believe in me, and by faith, you offer the blood of an innocent animal. And you do this so they had the whole sacrificial system. And so God said, this is the way to have your sins forgiven. And they knew what it was to have their sins forgiven. And so they would, what they would do, there was all kinds of sacrifices they had to do. They were in the Old Testament law. People were still saved through faith in Jesus Christ, They were saved by faith in God's way. God says, if you want to be considered righteous, here's what you have to do. And if they said, I don't want to do that, then they're rejecting God, same as today. But if they do what God says, what would happen is they would have sacrifices. They would have, sometimes you'd have to sacrifice daily, okay? Sometimes there were sacrifices in the Bible that people would do every day. Sometimes there were sacrifices once a week. You had to sacrifice something. Sometimes it was once a month you had to do sacrifices. There's one big sacrifice that happened once every year, okay? And the Day of Atonement, okay? Thank you. It was the Day of Atonement. Okay, good. You guys should be teaching. Day of Atonement, all right? The Day of Atonement is when all of Israel will get together and one sacrifice will be offered for the sins of all the people of Israel, okay? All the children of Israel, all the Jews. And what would happen, the high priest would be out that day and they'd sacrifice a bull or something on the altar, and then he would take the bowl of blood from that bull when he would go into the temple and he'd do all the ceremonial rituals and all that kind of stuff, and he would enter the Holy of Holies. The most holy place in the temple. That was behind this big curtain, this veil. And he would go in there. Behind that curtain was the Ark of the Covenant. And with the cherubims and stuff. And in the Ark of the Covenant was a couple things. But the Ark of the Covenant is where the Spirit of God in the Old Testament would come and live in that Ark of the Covenant. Come and dwell in that Ark of the Covenant. And so what they would do, they would take this blood of an innocent animal. And after the prayers, and they would go in there. And the priest once a year would dump this blood on top of the Ark of the Covenant. Kind of messy. But dump this blood on the top of the Ark of the Covenant. And the blood would run down all over the Ark of the Covenant. And the Bible says when God would see the blood of an innocent animal spilled, he would not hold people's sins against them at that point. He would kind of pass over, not to be confused with the Passover, but he would kind of not say, oh, you know, he would forgive their sins because their sins were covered by the blood of that innocent animal. They still had their sins, but God said, if you obey me, my blood or the sins of these animals will cover over your sins. And when I go to look at your sins, I won't see your sins. I will see the blood that's covering over your sins. So in the Old Testament, they could have their sins covered over and God would forgive them. They would then probably, they would die, when they died, they still wouldn't go right into the presence of God because their sins were just covered over, but they were still there. And that takes too long to talk about that. But the good news about this one thing, about the Old Testament, you know, shedding of blood and the forgiveness of sins, the good thing about that is their sins were forgiven, okay? Their sins were forgiven. They were covered over by the innocent animal, and that's great. The bad thing about it was the sins of the past were forgiven. And so if they went out of there the next day, all right, and sinned, now they had another sin, and they had to do another sacrifice. And if they sinned twice that week, they'd have to have two sacrifices, you know, and then every week and every year. It didn't ever forgive the sins of the future. It forgave the sins of the past, so they had to keep doing it over and over and over again. Hebrews talks about that. Hebrews 10:18. I'm going to take a couple sections out of there. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities of themselves. So it's the law and the sacrifice was only a shadow of what Jesus Christ was going to do. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Otherwise, they would not have stopped being offered. And then a little bit later on, but those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. See, now, the blood and bulls of animals that they would sacrifice, they would just cover over their sins, but they wouldn't be taken away. It's impossible for the sins of the blood of an animal to take away sins. So these people are still left with having to sacrifice and sacrifice. And then it says, first he said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings, you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, though they were offered in accordance with the law. This isn't God's plan, was not to have animal blood cover over sins, but God was pleased because he asked him to do that, and so it was counted as righteousness to them because they obeyed God, same as today. And then it says, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties again and again. He offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. And see, what's really cool is what Peter says here, so that your sins may be wiped out. But that has never happened before. The blood of animals can't take away sins. It just covers over it for a short time. And Psalms 23, David talks about this. David says in Psalm 32:1, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sins are covered over. Now the word taken away or covered over, the Greek word for that means to disannul or do away with, to completely destroy. Jesus didn't come to cover sins. He came to take sins away. That's why Jesus came. That's why the law was kind of a shadow of it. But when Jesus came and died on the cross, now Peter's saying, listen, Jesus came to literally take your sins away, to blot them out, not just to cover over them anymore, but to wipe them out. It's an amazing thing. And in Isaiah, looking ahead to when Jesus is going to come, Isaiah 53 says 4-6, surely he took our pain and bore our sufferings, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions, talking about Jesus on the cross. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought peace was laid on him, and by his wounds we're healed. And you know the verse, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has, here we go, laid on him the iniquity or the sin of us all. When Jesus came to the cross, he did something different that bulls and goats couldn't do. Our sins were laid on Jesus, not just covered over. You see this in John 1, what is it? John 1, 24, when, I forgot his name again. I thought I'd say boogers. All right. The hairy guy that ate locusts, John the Baptist. Okay. When John the Baptist first saw Jesus, when John the Baptist was out in the wilderness baptizing and Jesus came walking by, remember what he said? Behold what? Behold the Lamb of God that what? Takes away the sins of the world. Not behold the Lamb of God which covers over the sins like everything they were used to. But behold, this is Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. And 1 Peter 2:24, talking about Jesus, it says, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross. He didn't just shed His blood to cover over our sins. He took our sins in His body on the cross that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By His wounds we have been healed. Hebrews 9:26-28. But He appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to what? Do away with sin by the sacrifices of Himself. Just as people are destined to die once, after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to what? Take away the sins of many. And He will appear a second time, not to bear fruit, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for Him. And then the last verse, 1 John 3:5. But you know that He appeared so that He might what? Take away sins. Take away sins. Take away our sins. And in Him there is no sin. This is brand new. Not covered over. The New Testament goes, Jesus did not die to cover over sins. He died to take away the sins of the world, of many people. To those people who say, God, I'm a sinner. I believe that You died for me. God doesn't just cover over your sins. He takes them away. I'm trying to think of a really cool illustration. Vicki, you got to help me on this. I told her she was going to because I didn't give her much warning. The first is bring my backpack. Thank you very much. Thank you. I appreciate it. Can I help you onto the stage? Because I am such a gentleman. All right. My backpack. I hate to do this illustration with my backpack. Will you people wear my backpack? All right. We're going to do the Old Testament illustration first. Okay, this is the Old Testament. Okay. Now, Vicki doesn't look like it. She is an amazing woman. What's that? Yeah, I know you know what's coming this time. She is an amazing woman. She does all kinds of really cool stuff, but I want to tell you, look at her. She sins. I know it's hard to believe by looking at her, you know? I mean, married to me, why would she sin? I don't know. But let me start when she was a girl, okay? I also brought a bucket of sins with me, okay? Whole entire sins. Check this out. Well, not that one. That's a sin right there. That was what Vicki did when she was a young girl. She was a young girl. Her parents took in foster children, okay? One foster children, her hair got all messed up, and so Vicki took scissors and cut her hair off, the girl. And her mom said, who cut your hair? Did you cut? And the little girl said, Vicki. And Vicki said, I didn't do it. She did it. And the other girl got in trouble, and Vicki lied. When Vicki lied, she had to carry this sin. A sin was put in her backpack. There. She sinned, and she carried the sin. Now, being a good Old Testament girl, what she would have done, got a something, and she would have had a sacrifice for that sin to cover over the sin. So that's why I brought the blood of a bull or goat or sheep or dove, although that would be a huge dove to have that much blood in it, all right? But, you know, what would happen when she did that, God said, listen, trust me, here's what I'm asking you to do. When you sin, I want you to sacrifice something innocent, and that innocent thing will give His life to cover over your sins. So God would take, where they would make a sacrifice, and the blood of that innocent animal would cover over her sin. So when you look at her, when God looked at the Old Testament person, He would see that, yes, Vicki's a sinner, but her sins were covered by obedience to me, by a sacrifice of an animal. Her sins would be covered, all right? And then she would be fine. God would forgive her of that sin. But the problem is, knowing her, she's just going to sin again another 5 or 10 years, you know, or maybe sooner. And maybe sooner, all right? And in high school, she dated really stupid guys, all right? I'm going to call that a sin because they were little dumb kids anyway. But that wasn't sin. She did really good dating, but, you know, she sinned or didn't always get along with her parents and stuff. So whenever she sinned, her stepfather, she had problems with her stepfather, you know, and that was definitely sin, wasn't it? Yeah. Yes, because you didn't handle that right. So God would, and, well, stepfather would deserve at least 2 sins, you know? And so, you know, every time she sinned, they'd be put in there. But being a good Old Testament example, she would go out and get something, you know, and she would sacrifice it because God asked her to. Obedience to God is what brings righteousness. And so, turn around. We don't want to see you. We want to see your sins covered. But I'll look at you later. I like looking at you. Anyway, but so her sins would be covered. And so if she happened to die during that time, you know, her sins would be covered over and she would not spend eternity separated from God. Her sins would be covered over. It was paid for by something that had to die. Okay? And as she got her, then she finally married me, and we'll take a couple out for that now. But, as she got older, I remember she sinned once against me, you know, and it wasn't like terrible, but it was a sin. Well, we'll put this one in for that, you know? And, she sinned, and then I still have more sins in my bucket. Should we name some more of your more recent sins? No? Okay. Very good. She got mad at me once. I didn't even deserve it. That makes it a... sins can be big, they can be little. It's anything that God asked you not to do. It's displeasing of God. And so she sinned, you know, and she sinned some more. All right. I don't know if it's backpacks. All right. And what they would happen, what they would do then, once they sinned, they would have to go out. And as you got older, maybe your sins got bigger or whatever, but they would sacrifice an animal. Old Testament-wise, they would cover, the blood covered up the sin. Okay. Still, she carried the weight of that sin, and that gets really, really heavy. So Old Testament people, they would do what they had to do, but their sins were never taken away. They were covered over. Okay? Considered righteous before God because of their obedience by faith in Jesus Christ. And this is where Peter gets really cool. He's talking to people that are carrying around just with their sins covered over. Okay? Now, just give me some freedom in this illustration. But it's, and you know what? A lot of you guys know what she feels like. Because a lot of you guys know you've been forgiven your sins, but you're still carrying the weight of it. God could never love me. God could never love me after what I did. And I'm not perfect, and my past and stuff like that. And some of you guys are walking around just like, that's not getting, you're not helping. You're supposed to not help it. You can't help it. Okay? That makes it easy, all right? And you're walking around, she said after the first service, that was really heavy, you know? And then what'd you say? It is weight you're not supposed to bear. You weren't designed to bear this weight. But in the Old Testament, they would carry this around. And some of you guys are still carrying the weight of your past and your sins and stuff around. And that's what was so cool about this. In Acts 3:19, repent then, turn to God, so that your sins may be what? Wiped out. And the next phrase is that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Before they didn't have, it wasn't, they would still carry the weight. It was covered. They were all right. They were forgiven. But when Jesus came, Jesus took our sins, He took them, bore them in His body, and died on the cross to take away our sins. What God didn't, Jesus didn't come so you could say, oh, you know, here, let me just spread some of my blood over your sins, and when you get to heaven, my dad will look at you and say, oh, that's Jesus' blood, come on in. What God did was incredible. What Jesus did was incredible. He said, He came and He said, let me take this from you, and Jesus took our sins. How's it feel?
Better.
Good. You can fly down the steps, float over your chair. You're such a butterfly. All right. He came and He took our sins. He took them away at the cross. Now, listen to what it says. Can you imagine? You ever been backpacking? Or do you ever carry groceries to the car and your husband parked like 16 miles away? And you had to, like, you know, because the garage is full of stuff that's not supposed to be in the garage. Your car's, so you're walking to the house, you try to carry, if you're like her, you try to carry them all at once. You get to the house, you finally get up to the counter, you set it down, it's like, oh. You know how good it feels? You're backpacking, you get to the top of the mountain, get to where you're backpacking, you take your pack off, and it's like you're almost walking on your tiptoes. That's what it says. Our sins, that our sins may be wiped out, and the times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Jesus didn't die so we could be forgiven for our sins and still carry Him around. He came and took them away. Listen to Isaiah 53:4-6. Surely He took up our pain and bore our suffering. We considered Him punished by God, stricken by Him, and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace, I already read that, okay, was laid on Him. It was just completely laid on Him. Hebrews 10 is where I wanted to read. For by one sacrifice, Hebrews 10:14-18. For by one sacrifice He has what? Made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Now that's an interesting thing. For by one sacrifice, that's Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, God in flesh, lived perfectly, became the one sacrifice that was perfect that could take away our sins. And by one sacrifice, he sacrificed himself. He became sin for those who knew no sin. Jesus Christ took our sin by one sacrifice. He made perfect forever. When you come to know Jesus Christ and say, God, I believe that you died for me, he takes your sins and they're put on his body and he pays the ultimate punishment. He takes your sins away. Remember we talked about, you know, we put on, God says, listen, I'll tell you what I'll do. Here's my deal. If you believe in me, I'll give you my perfect robes of righteousness and I will take your sinful robes. And Jesus wore my sin to the cross. Jesus took all my sins, past, my present, and my future. That's why he said, for one sacrifice, I've made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Now listen, I'm still being made holy. I still sin. Jesus already paid the penalty for my sins. I am trying to be better and more holy, but my sins, the eternal weight of my sins, has been forgiven. Now I am positionally perfect before God as a believer in Jesus Christ. But I'm still being made, I'm working towards being more perfect than I used to be. At least Vicky says I am. I'm working towards being more perfect. Now you're still going to sin against people, all right? You're still going to sin against people. And if you sin against people, you deserve to carry some weight. You go make it right with those people. And the whole Bible, a whole lot of the New Testament is written on when you sin against someone, what to do about it. You go to them or you forgive them or ask for forgiveness and you make it right and get rid of that weight. But positionally before God, when God looks at you as a believer in Jesus Christ, he does not see sin because your sin was taken away at the cross of Jesus Christ, wiped out, completely gone. You can still sin against other people. You understand what I'm saying? See, there's two things. There's two basic consequences to most sins. Some consequences is you offend someone else and you need to make that right. All sins separate us from God. And these are the sins we're talking about, not the sins that we do against other people. Yeah, they're sins against God too. But the sins that keep us out of heaven, any sin we do would have been rocks in our backpack. That the Old Testament would have just carried it and carried it, but it was covered over. But in the New Testament, Jesus came to relieve us of all that sin. He took the eternal consequences of those sins. He bore them in his body on the tree. It's for one, by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies us about this. This is in Hebrews 10:14-18. First, he says, this is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts. I will write them on their minds. Then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. Why won't God remember our sins and our lawless acts anymore? Because he has a bad memory? No, because they're not there anymore. They were taken away at the cross. Our sins are past sins. Those things that are weighing you down. Those things that God can never love me. God already paid the penalty for them. They are gone. Their sins and lawless acts, he says, I'll remember no more. And where those sins have been forgiven, sacrifice is no longer necessary. It's amazing what God did. It's like when Jesus went to the cross, he took your record, okay? And some of you guys had a lot of record, all right? And he said, well, you did this and this and this, and you got this and this and this, and then you became a teenager, a whole lot of pages, all right? But, you know, and then when you became a parent, it's way more pages, you know? And all the things you did wrong, God takes that. And what God does, it's kind of like the same as the robes. When he went to the cross and you believe that Jesus died for you and paid you a penalty for your sins, you give him your record and you take his. Jesus' record is nothing. Nothing, nothing pure. You're holy. When we accept God's forgiveness for our sins, he makes perfect forever those who are being made physically perfect. Now, I just think this is so exciting. Because when you realize that you don't have to carry this around anymore, when you realize that this wasn't just forgiven and covered over, your sins of your past, your present, and your future is taken away. Now you can do two things with that. You can say, "Whoo, I'm going to go out and sin." And you can abuse God's grace and you will deal with him. Read Hebrews chapter 10. But when you realize all those things that I've been carrying around, all my past and all that, that weight and that guilt, Jesus Christ took, made perfect forever. It's gone at the cross. That's why he said, then times of refreshing will come to the Lord, come from the Lord. It's tremendous. Their sins and all the facts I'll remember no more. And where they've been forgiven, sacrifice for sin is no longer necessary. In Galatians 3, 23 to 26, it talks about we're justified by faith. Justified by faith in God. And when I was little in Good News Club, we learned that justified means just as if I had never sinned. Okay? When God looks at me right now, when he looks at you if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, when he looks at that little girl that accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior, he looks at her just as if she had never sinned. Now, that doesn't come quite far enough. Just as if I had never sinned, that's a great way to remember it. But in the eyes of God, you have an unblemished record. Your record was never even blemished. Because it's gone. You've exchanged places with Jesus. Jesus took your sins. In God's view, you have an unblemished record.
Amen.
Thank you. Yeah. It's just amazing. He's not overlooking your record. He's not saying, oh, well, I'll be benevolent to you because, you know, I died for you and it's covered. No. Covered over was the Old Testament. Your sins are gone. I've been set free. It's just amazing what God did for us. Unblemished record. He's kind of rewritten your history. Because your history was sinful, 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 sinful. Accepted Jesus Christ. Forgiveness for your sins. Erased. Blotted out. Not there. Wiped clean. God doesn't overlook your sins. They're gone. That's why he says, I won't remember them anymore. Believing that your sins are under the blood of Christ. See, a lot of us, we talk about that. My sins are covered by the blood of Christ. My sins are under the blood of Christ. That's Old Testament. Your sins are not covered by the blood of Christ anymore. I know what you know what you mean. They're not covered over. They're not under the blood of Christ. They're gone. Positionally with God, your sins are gone. That's what the Bible says. It's like just amazing. That's why the Bible says there's therefore now in Romans 8:1, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Because you get to heaven and God looks at your record and it's the record of Jesus. You have the white robes, the holiness of Christ. You are justified as you have never sinned. Your record is completely wiped clean. There's no sin record. And that's why we're allowed to stay in heaven with God. That's why we can be in God's presence because he views us as made perfect forever. In the Old Testament, I believe they didn't go right to heaven. They went to paradise. And that's why when Jesus died, he went down to set the captives free. The people that were still carrying around forgiven sins. And Jesus Christ went down there and said, guess what, guys? Your sins are gone. They're gone. I took care of it on the cross. You're free. Come home with me to my Father in heaven. I'll tell you, that's just an amazing thing. Your sins have been blotted out. You've been given the righteousness of God in Christ. You know what? You don't need to be bogged down by what if God doesn't forgive me? I did too much. How could God ever forgive me? Some people carry that around. And every time I talk about our sins being forgiven, my chains are gone, I'm set free, I see people in the audience that just look like, oh, I need to hear that, I need to hear that. Stop picking that back up. Stop carrying the weight. If you sinned against somebody, go make it right with them. And you know what? There's some things you can't make right. You will carry some of that weight around. Some things we've done, we're going to pay the consequences. It's just physical consequences. But spiritually, they're gone. You don't have to ever. You know what? The Bible says that way we can boldly approach the throne of God. Why? Because God says, oh, well, you know, you can approach me. Be careful because I see some of those sins. No, we can boldly approach the throne room of God because we're perfect. In God's view, we're perfect because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. We won't live that way. He's making us holy. You can walk with confidence knowing that. It's just amazing. And that's why I love this song. You guys can sing that. We're gonna have them sing that song, I've Been Set Free Again. Oh, we got to understand that. We got to realize that. We got to live in the fact. Are all you guys here? Yeah, except for Bob. Oh, well, you don't need drums. Anyway, but we can. God has given us freedom. Here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to think about the sins that you have in your life and repent. Say, God, I am a sinner. Maybe you've never done this before. God, I'm a sinner. Repent. Turn to God. And believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, not to cover them up, but to take them away. And picture yourself with Jesus coming, taking that weight of your past, lifting that backpack, that burden of your past off your shoulders, and God says, I got it for you. Let me take you to the cross, and I'll put it as far as east is from the west, so far that my Father won't even remember it. And He's got a perfect memory. And when He looks at you, and when you talk to Him, and when you go into His presence, and when you walk into the church, He views you as perfect, made perfect forever, those who are being made holy. Yeah, I still mistreat my wife sometimes. I still get angry. I don't do the sins I used to do. I just do new ones. All right? And I'm not using an excuse, but God forgave me. And I don't have to carry that weight. I got to confess my sins. God, I'm sorry I sinned. I'm sorry I got to go to my wife. I'm sorry I sinned against you. I need to make it right with people. But God, take your sins right now. Repent to God and others. Hand the backpack to Jesus. Take that weight off your back that you've been carrying around. Not so you can go out and sin more and sin freely, but take it off so you don't have to carry it, so that when you share the Christ, you win other people to Christ. You win other people to Christ. You don't say, oh, my life is so much horror. I'm so heavy, but I want you to come to know Christ too because I did. I'm free. I want you to be free. I know you're at the bottom. I know you carry this weight for that past. God came to set us free from that. He set me free from that. I can go out and I can win people for Christ. I want you to relax and enjoy your freedom in Christ. Relax and enjoy it. Don't abuse it, but relax and enjoy it. Don't be such a stick in the mud when it comes to Christianity. Relax and enjoy it. And understand that you're no longer chained to those sins. Jesus took them away at the cross. I just got to keep adding this. If you're sinning against other people, make it right. Or you're going to carry that weight. Why should we have to carry any weight at all? Jesus Christ came to free us from that. Great thing. I would advise you, choose wisely with your past sins. Choose wisely with the way you live. Just keep that backpack emptied. And when you keep that backpack emptied, this is the fun song to sing. So let's sing the song and we'll get back up and pray. Go ahead.
Go ahead and stand.
Amazing God. I don't understand why you did this for me. I mean, I don't even need to do penance. I'm forgiven. Just by believing that Jesus died on the cross for me, believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be free. And those you set free, Lord, were free indeed. And I thank you for the ability to love you, to live this life a little more lighthearted than people that carry this stuff around. You are an amazing God. What a great message to share. That's why it's called the good news. The good news that these people in our life don't have to carry all this stuff. They can be set free. Help us not to be ashamed of that. The freedom that's in Jesus' name. And in that name we pray. Amen.